If you ask the best in the world the single greatest secret to success, they'll smile and give a gentle laugh. You're asking the wrong question. Being extraordinary is not a single element. It cannot be distilled down to one thing. We're told that being a success is a magical thing that happens in a place you'll arrive. The hard part is that this long-held truth is the biggest lie. Extraordinary features humans that have reached the top of their field and become extraordinary humans. The door to being extraordinary is now open. Will you walk in? And welcome back to the Create Your Own Life Show, Jensen Chero.
Thanks for having me.
And guys, if you have not heard Jen on the show before, we had a ton of fun last time. We talked a lot about her journey, her feud with Howard Stern. And if you want to hear a lot of that stuff, you can hear it over at jeremyryanslate.com/242 if you want to hear that story. But we're going to talk more about the amazing book that Jen has coming out called You Are a Badass Every Day. And I just wanted to tell you first off, guys, so if you haven't heard Jen on the show before, she was on our show in April of 2017, and she was episode 242. And as we record this, we're in the mid-500s. And even with having celebrities like Danica Patrick and Fat Joe and a lot of people we've had in the show, Jen is still our number one downloaded episode every single month. So Jen, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back. This is apparently my place to be.
Apparently. So, you know, we talked last time about the book you had coming out, which was at that point in time, You Are a Badass with Money. But now we're talking about being a badass every day. Why is it so important to be a badass every day?
Because confidence and motivation and thinking you are a badass, those are all muscles that you got to keep in shape. And so this book is, the point of this book is sort of to be like your personal trainer, if you will, just to keep those muscles strong. Because it really is about just, you know, you guys all know this stuff. You've been reading these books forever. You've been going to seminars, getting coaches, but you got to remember. So this is a big fat reminder to just knock it off with the negative stuff and stay in the zone.
But you know, Jen, I feel like we have so many excuses so many times, like it's my situation or it's my family or it's whatever it is. Like, why is it important for us to really just start letting go of that stuff?
Because you won't get nowhere if you stay with it. You know, and we keep create what our realities. So if you want to believe that it's your family's fault or the economy's fault or the fact that you suck's fault, you get that. If you decide to change that up and decide that you're awesome and that it's available to you and that you can do it, then you get that.
Well, and one of the things that I know I personally suck at, and I don't know if it's a high performer thing or a high achiever thing, but you know, you make the point of saying, hey, stop and smell the roses, like actually stop and smell it and have some enjoyment. And I know for myself, I'm always like, well, I'm not there yet. I don't want to have what I want yet. I'm working towards this goal and I don't really notice like a lot of the things I've achieved. Like, why is it important to do that? And how do we make sure we're doing that every day?
Oh, gosh, that's such a good one. And you know, and especially because in our culture, we put so much value on productivity and accomplishment that it's almost a no-no to do what you just said, right? Like you're slacking off. And that's why we get sick, because we don't take a break and we don't lean back and we don't enjoy it. And it's just remembering. Honestly, I got nothing else for you. Like, it's remembering to stop and smell the roses. It really is. You know to do it. It's like, you know you should drink twice as much water every day, but do you actually do it? So it is about reminding yourself. And I think a really good way to do that is to hang out with other people who are really good at remembering and who are good at reminding you that you're doing great and that you should take a break and go to the movies instead of work your ass off all day.
Well, I know for myself early on, like I really struggle with that. Like I feel like there's this, and I think it's just an American culture thing, right? Like we're told like keep working, keep doing this. Like I know one of my favorite places to travel to is Italy, and they take a siesta every day at like 3 o'clock. But here in the US, we're just like, you know, grind, and we don't have the results, I think, a lot of times for that. And it goes back to just what you're saying about like enjoying life, right?
Totally. I know. Siesta. People, can we please get with the program? My God. And it's like hours in the middle of the day. Who cares about the middle of the day? Just like sleeping and eating. Oh, my God. Totally.
How have you, I guess, worked that into your own life? Have you, like, you know, made more time for enjoyment, made more time for family and friends? Like how has that looked in application for you?
You know, lately I've gotten much better at it because, and this is so simple, and this is really how simple so many things are, but I stopped and I was like, wait a minute, what's really important to me right now? What are the most important things to me? And right now it is hanging out with the people I love, laughing and being creative. And so I think for anybody out there, just stopping being in the grind and stepping back and being like, okay, what is really important to me? And, you know, working and making money and accomplishing stuff, that's important, but we usually have that part down. Stopping and taking the time and making a specific list of what else is important and doing whatever it takes to bring that into your life is critical. But I think the problem is we don't stop and get specific and then treat it as important as everything else we're doing. Do you know what I mean?
No. And I think that kind of goes back to a lot of the way, you know, we're raised and we're taught here in the society is, you know, we're taught like, don't follow your feelings and don't look at a lot of these different things. But sometimes like your gut's right a lot of times, and sometimes you got to trust it. And, you know, one of the things that you said is to really let your feelings take over within logic and to really, you know, use that as a guiding decision. Like, how should we be doing that in terms of like using our feelings the right way?
Getting more in touch with them, because I think what happens is we get these gut impulses. And how many times have we said, I should have listened to my gut? You know, that is a common refrain because we don't. And we are so caught up in our conscious minds, which, you know, my conscious mind is awesome. I'm very grateful for a lot of the smart things it's told me to do, but not at the expense of not listening to my gut. So it's about practicing meditation, slowing down, getting quiet, taking a breath and stepping back and choosing to respond to things instead of being in reaction mode all the time. It really is about slowing down.
Was there, I guess, a decision, maybe decision or two for you in your life that you were thinking about following your gut, you were thinking about it, and you finally said, you know what, damn it, I'm just going to do it. And, you know, you were grateful for that. Tell us, I guess, about, you know, an area where that happened for you.
All the time. And I'll tell you, this has happened to me a bunch of times, and I'm sure everybody's got stories like this, but every time I did that, it was terrifying and I totally didn't want to do it, but it was the best thing I ever did. So the example that I use a lot in both, I think I put it in both my books, was when I decided I wasn't going to be broke anymore. And I went to some money-making seminar and I met this coach who was speaking on stage there, and she helped women with their finances. And I really wanted to work with her. My gut was like, you have got to hire this woman, even though I didn't really understand what the hell life coaches were at that time. And even though I was already massively in debt and she cost literally like a quarter of my annual income, my gut was like, hire her. And I was like, I don't want it. But I knew I had to. So I took out another credit card and I hired her. And it was easily one of the most terrifying things I ever did. And one of the most critical, because I ended up tripling my income within the first 3 months of working with her. But it was utterly terrifying.
It's funny though, because I think so many times as individuals, we're so much more attuned, right? Like there's so much more things we're picking up for energy or experience or whatever. And we just tell ourselves, no, don't listen to that. Don't look at that. Because I know,
right.
I know there's so many situations, like even like a great example for me, and I think for our listeners, is a lot of times we meet people that give us a bad vibe, right? And we're like, don't trust that guy. And then you trust that guy and it bites you in the butt. And you're like, damn it, I told myself not to trust that guy. And I think a lot of times we say, hey, don't judge a book by its cover, but we're actually picking up a lot from our gut in that way.
Well, and I think in those situations, we're unwilling to make people more uncomfortable than they just made us. You know what I mean? Like it's this whole sacrificing the self for others, and which is a beautiful thing in a certain way, but it's also how we get locked, you know, stuck in toxic relationships and, you know, shrinking back because the people around us are uncomfortable with our big hopes and dreams. Like it's a really important thing to understand that you're being nice to yourself. You're not being mean to other people by following those gut impulses.
No, totally. And when we put ourselves in that situation, right, like I feel like a lot of times the thing is we make that mistake, we're in the bad situation, and we just complain about it then, right? Like we just complain about it and then we're just, you know, like damn them and whatever, and we don't take personal responsibility a lot of times. But Jen, you've talked about actually taking that complaint either in that situation or any other situation in our life, and using that as a motivator. So how do we really flip that back around?
Well, the beautiful thing about us is that we get caught into ruts, especially when it comes to complaining. So if you're, you know, listening to podcasts like this and you're serious about changing your life, but you're like, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. Listen to what falls out of your mouth. What do you complain about the most? And that's a very good sign of where you should start the changes. You know, look at the people you complain about. Look at how, you know, what you whine about your career or your body or whatever, your life situation. And that is an excellent roadmap to where you could start. You know, my thing back in the day was I said I can't afford it every 15 minutes back in the day. And that was one of my very first things that I changed about myself. I was like, hey, I am unauthorized to say I can't afford it anymore because, you know, because we're human beings and we love to be right. I kept proving that I can't afford it. I'm a freelance writer. The economy sucks. I suck at making money. And so I got locked into that, proving that that reality was true. And it wasn't until I was like, all right, I'm done with I can't afford it. And I'm going to start saying money flows to me easily and freely, you know, and saying that I started changing my life.
Well, in terms of that, then, if you weren't allowing yourself to do that, and I think that's really something we shouldn't be, have you really taken, you know, a look at your life as, you know, as you've made this turn, as you've helped a lot more people, and like said, well, these are my non-negotiables. And if you really have non-negotiables, like what are those things?
Well, my non-negotiables are, I got to say age has really helped me, but if people aren't showing up and bringing something to the party, and you know, just as far as their evolved thinking or just appreciating me and I appreciate them, I've really don't tolerate negative people anymore. I would love to say that I've gotten much better at calling myself on my negative stuff and not buying into it. I still, you know, nobody's perfect and I still have to catch myself all the time. But I would say my biggest one is with other people. I've gotten very good at setting up boundaries.
So I that's a really interesting question then. Like if we're going to set up boundaries like that, like how do we do that so that, you know, we can do that in the right way? Because I think so many times we get upset because we don't set those limits, then they happen and we're just like, damn it, I'm pissed. So how do we set up those boundaries in the right way?
With other people specifically?
Yeah, with other people specifically. Because like I'll say a lot of people listening to this show, they're probably yes people, right? They love to say yes because it makes other people happy, but then they get pissed off when they have to do it. So how do we set those boundaries?
Right. Uh-huh. Well, I think one thing again is that, you shift your perspective of it, and it's not about being mean to them. It's about being nice to yourself, because it's that whole thing. Like at the core, we really just want to be liked. Right. And so when we fall into that whole thing of wanting to be liked by everybody, even if we don't like that other person, we get stuck in these resentful relationships. So if it's like, you've got to understand when you're being nice to yourself and you're sticking to your values and doing the things that are right for you, it ultimately helps everybody involved. Because when you put up with negative behavior or toxic relationships or shrink down to, you know, accommodate somebody else, you're not doing them a favor either. When you stand tall and you demand the most from yourself and others, everybody has a chance to rise up too.
Well, and I think that's why it's so important to a lot of times, like, take care of yourself first. Like, it sounds selfish, but if you're not any good with yourself, you can't really help others. And I feel like it's such a cliche because everybody says it. But the thing on the airplane about when you're going to put the mask on yourself before the person next to you. But if you're not any good to yourself, you can't help people. So, like, how should we be looking at, like, our own self-care? Like, how should we be doing that? Because I feel like there's so many people I know in my life and they want to play the martyr when if they take care of themselves, they can help other people more.
Right. I know it's so ridiculous. It's like, if you got to understand that if you are completely spread thin and exhausted, you're no good to anybody. So, but again, it's that whole thing of putting yourself second or third even, because you value other people's needs first. I think it really is, you know, this is why at the end of every chapter in You Are a Badass, I put love yourself, because it is like that thing on the airplane where you've got to love yourself and you've got to give yourself all the means to help not only yourself, but everybody around you. It comes back to remembering, just stay in that zone and follow that gut of yours and be like, does this feel right? Does this give me energy or does it deplete my energy? And start going from that. And I think it's a really interesting exercise to do it one day at a time so that you can get used to this new mindset of shifting the way that you're looking at stuff and being like, okay, just for today, I am going to really pay attention to my energy and feel, how does this interaction feel to me? Does it bring me energy and joy, or do I feel depleted and resentful? And just practicing strengthening that muscle.
I absolutely love that though, because I've done that a lot of times with, for me, like the people that are around me and the groups I'm involved in are so important. So I've always looked at, does it feel like this action or this person's, you know, zapping my energy? Are they adding to it so that I can do more? And I think so many times we're made to feel like a bad person if we're looking at it that way. But really, you have to protect your energy, just like you're saying.
And just really remembering that it's not doing anybody favors. And we live so in fear of hurting other people's feelings. Meanwhile, we're hurting our own feelings, right? So that...
Yeah, 100%.
Right? So what about that? And it does. And, you know, I certainly have gotten wake up calls from people who have shaken me off their legs. You know, it certainly has gone in both directions and it has caused me to think and it hurt my feelings and it was painful. But, you know, it does give you pause and we're here to grow. And by enabling people, we're not doing anybody any favors. And quite frankly, I don't want to be friends with somebody who doesn't want to be friends with me, or I don't want to hang out with people who don't want to hang out with me and who are just doing it to be quote unquote nice, you know? Where's the fun
100%. And it's funny because I every time somebody says nice, I always go, have you ever looked up the derivation of that word? The word nice actually comes from the old French, which means, I think it's moronic or something like that. So it basically means to be an idiot is to be nice. So I'm looking
at, no way.
I always love to show people the derivation that it comes from the old French when they say being nice. It's like, never call me nice. I'll be a good person, but never call me nice. Well, Jen, you talked about a few minutes ago the idea of like creating your ideal reality, right? And I think so many times, you know, we don't do that. We don't think about that. We don't even look at that. And we're in this situation and we're like, how the hell did I get here? And I think a lot of times if you don't have this thing that you've decided you want and you give yourself something to work towards, you can't go anywhere. So how do we even go about doing that so that we can give ourselves something to work towards?
How do we give ourselves the clarity to figure out what we want?
In terms of our ideal reality, like how do we like decide what it looks like to work towards that?
Yeah. You know, I love this question because I think a lot of people are like, all I know is I'm unhappy, but I actually don't know what I want. And I think it's so important to be okay with that and to not subscribe to that weird thing. Like, we're all supposed to know exactly who we are and live a life on purpose and go for it and la. I had no idea what the hell I wanted to do. And I think it's also very hard because you've never done it before. So how the hell are you supposed to know what you want to do, right? So, but you do know what feels good. So I always recommend just get in the game. Like, start with what you do know, because we all have little pieces of what we do know, right? But, you know, back in the day, I knew that I wanted to help other people. I wanted to be creative and I wanted a reason to put on a bra and leave the house. Like, because I was, you know, freelance writing all the time from home. And so that's kind of all I had. So I just started, you know, going towards the opportunities that were presented to me that maybe weren't 100% right, but at least I was getting more information. So I'd be like, okay, I really like this about this thing. I hate this. So I'm going to move in the direction of the stuff that I like. And I just think get in the game, because if you sit around and try and figure it out in your head, you could be there for the next 15 years spinning and spinning and spinning because you don't actually know yet. You've never done it before.
That's huge. Well, the book is You Are a Badass Every Day. And we'll get back to that in just a few minutes and tell people where they can find that. But Jen, I want to come back around, you know, to you. We did focus a lot more on you the last time you're on the show, but I have some questions for you that I think you may enjoy. The first being, what's something that you believed at 21 that you don't believe now?
Oh gosh, I think that I had to be perfect. I was really hard on myself.
Oh my gosh. What made you decide you didn't have to be perfect?
That it was really hard.
Yeah, show me a perfect person. I'll show you a regular person, right?
Right, right.
Well, what would you say is your biggest skill, and how do you feel like you developed that?
Well, I do think I'm a pretty good writer at this point. So, and I think I developed that by reading a ton of other writers. I was a total bookworm. And focusing on language. Like once I decided that I was going to be a writer, I didn't just read anymore for the pleasure of reading. I read and I noticed what made me, you know, throw the book down and run a victory lap around the house about that last sentence I read. You know, I really started paying attention to the craft. And I, you know, majored in writing at college and developed my skill. But I think it was really mostly about reading other people who I admired and paying attention to why I admired them.
I absolutely love that, because that kind of brings me back to a conversation I had with somebody yesterday. I had one of my followers on Quora ask me, well, how do I become a better interviewer? And I'm like, well, how many interviews do you want to do? Because it's number one, first and foremost, the easy way to get there is just doing a lot more of it. And I think the same thing comes down to writing. Like, you don't discover your voice until you keep writing.
Totally.
And then the other thing you mentioned about like reading people that are really good at it, like, you know, I love podcasts, but I didn't really listen to other podcasters to feel like I was getting better at it. I listened to people like Walter Cronkite and people like Larry King, like people that are like legends of this stuff, because that is how you get better at anything. Look at the legends.
Totally. And also, you've got to be fearless about sucking. You know, if you're right, because if you don't get in there and try it and fall flat on your face and embarrass yourself in public, you're not going to get anywhere. So you just got to keep going and not worry about being perfect. And that's how you learn it.
100%. Well, on the other side of that, Jen, what's the biggest thing you feel like you've struggled with? And, you know, if you found a solution, that's awesome. But if not, you know, what's the thing you struggled with?
What is the thing I have struggled with? You know, being hard on myself. I got to say, like, I pretended that I got rid of it in my 20s, but I'm still pretty hard on myself. And to be honest, you know, it's interesting, God, this, you know, I just got back from my book tour for You Are a Badass Every Day. And the question that came up at almost every talk was people struggling with the fraud complex. And it never feels back when I was coaching all the time. No matter what I was going through in my life, whatever was really up my nose at the time, I would immediately get a client who was struggling with that very thing. And I'd be like, oh my God, how am I going to help this person with this thing that I am struggling with? But this has all been about the fraud complex. And it took me until You Are a Badass Every Day to really, you know, it's been 5 years since the first You Are a Badass came out. And I finally have been able to fully embrace the success of all these books. So I finally no longer have the fraud complex about it, but it took me 5 years. And I'm supposed to be really good at this stuff, right? So I would say that has been sort of the monkey on my back is the fraud complex. But the good news is I go forward and prosper anyway, but that is always, that's sort of been my thing.
Well, I really think that comes back to being a badass every day, right? Like people look at, you know, something and they say, hey, I can't do that, or I can't call that person, or I can't, you know, do that thing. But they don't realize like, hey, it's the process of working towards becoming the person that can do that every single day. Like you don't do this overnight. And I think that's really what being a badass every day is about. If you can correct me if I'm wrong there.
Yeah, it's about a practice, right? And that's why they call it practice, because you're not perfect. You're practicing it. So, but you got to practice every day. I call it the spiritual gym. You know, you've got to go to that gym every day and stay strong. And you know, you're allowed to be in a bad mood. You're allowed to have a crappy day. It's not about being perfect. And you know, that's not human, but it is about just, you know, constantly showing up and doing your best. So
absolutely. Well, Jen, I am so grateful to you for coming back and spending some more time with us today. The book is You Are a Badass Every Day. Where can we find that? And where can we find you?
JenSincero.com. It's JenSincero.com. Or you can just go to youareabadass.com and that will get you to the same place.
All right. Well, Jen Sincero, our number one rated guest. Thank you so much for coming back on the Create Your Own Life show today.
Anytime. This was great. Thanks so much.